Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to episode number 88. Indeed, episode number 88 of Sci-Fi and Scream. Welcome to the show. Thanks again to the awesome guys from White Noise, Keza and TJ, and you'll hear them again next week before me at 9 o'clock. And that track was the irrepressible nerd rock, as they call themselves, Kirby Crackle, from Seattle, USA. They consist of two guys, Jim Damonakis and Kyle Stevens, and they have been over to Aussie Shores earlier this year at Supernova. They're pretty awesome. I must admit I like them. And the song was called Roll Over. Check out all the geeky references and so forth if you were listening to that. Now, tonight it's all about those passionate people, the eccentrics, the people that love genre a lot, and the people who even make it and make it happen, the conventions, and a lot more. So this is the definitive episode we're hoping that we had to have, and I've called it Joy of Nerd, or the Birth of the Geek. And tonight my guest in the studio live is Darren Maxwell. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, Darren.
Hello, Sonia. How are you?
Good to have you here. It's the first time you've been in the studio here.
Yes, it is.
I reckon. You're going to join me in this little bit of an analysis, hopefully. We'll be able to come to some sort of decision. And we also have a couple of other people that we're going to play. Oh, well, actually two pre-recorded interviews. One is with Art Boy Gallery, which is based in, I never can get this right, Pran.
You just say Pran.
Pran. We've also got Kiri Callaghan. She's all the way from Seattle, from Geek Girl Con. So I'll be playing that interview a bit later. And we've also got David. David McBay is from Geek, actually, which is a website and a podcaster online, and he's based in Sydney, Australia, because that's where we are. So we'll have him online in a few minutes. But I just want to welcome Darren for coming on board. Who are you? Are you a nerd? And the big question is, are you a nerd or are you a geek?
I am definitely a self-confessed nerd. My history starts back in 1984 when I got involved with the local science fiction community. She started by joining Star Trek fan club Austrek back then. Oh. Then a few years later, I was involved in starting up Australian Star Wars fan club. The Star Walking Inc., the Star Wars Appreciation Society of Australia. And I was a part of that for 23 years on the committee, which I retired only last month, in fact. And in my time, I was involved with organising a whole lot of conventions, a whole lot of banquets. I had my own newsletter at one point, ran a number of banquets, as I said. Sort of like got to see the history or the part of the sci-fi community sort of evolve at my sort of 20 years.
That's a huge, huge thing.
I mean, my involvement in the Star Wars Club was like, it's longer than like I've had any job or had any relationship or lived in any house. So it was almost like a bit of a full-time thing there for quite a while. The community especially was quite large and active back in the 80s and the 90s, and I've always believed that if you're a fan of movies or TV shows, you're a nerd. So I actually use this phrase, you know, nerds the world unite. Yeah, so I don't go with the geek term. I don't stand for that at all. So.
Right. Well, we'll probably have a little discussion about that when I give David a call in a moment. All right, I'm going to play a track, actually, right at the moment. They're local. It's Tripod, and it's called Hot Comic Book Shop Girl. Yeah, all right, we'll give that a whirl, and then we'll get in touch with David McVeigh from Sydney. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy and 94.9.
Hi, my name is Colin Ferguson. I play Sheriff Jack Carter on Eureka, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Now, we've got Darren in the hot seat, Darren Maxwell from Con9 from Outer Space, amongst other things, in the studio here. But we actually have on the line from Sydney live none other than David McVeigh from Geek Actually. Welcome to the show, David.
Well, thank you, Sonia.
Can you hear me okay? How's that?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Fabulous. Good. I actually haven't done a live phone, you know, two-way before, so you'll have to forgive me if it goes a bit crappy.
Not a problem at all.
I believe you're sitting at a studio yourself right now.
Yeah, I'm actually in my studio right now. This is right where we record our podcast.
Wow. Darren, are you excited?
I'm very excited.
He likes the idea of that technology, I reckon. And I certainly do. Puzzling to me, though. It is great to have you on the show. Now, I have got some questions for both you, Darren, here. David and Darren, it's going to be quite a night because the interview I've got to play later on is a Mike and and Mark, so ooh, it's going to be tough.
Well, once upon a time, D&D stood for Dungeons and Dragons, and now it's Darren and David, so there you go.
There you go. Who's David McVeigh? Who are you?
Who am I? Let's see. I'm a podcaster, and I run a website called geekactually.com. We run two weekly, well, we were running more, but at the moment we're running two weekly podcasts, both aimed squarely at geek. One is a movie show called Film Actually, where we review the latest in films. And the other is a comic book podcast where we go deep analysis on various books. We like to kind of call it the Oprah's Book Club for Nerds.
Cool. All right. Now, how did you get started with that website and doing the podcast? I mean, it's brilliant. I've seen it online, and anyone wants to, if anyone doesn't believe me, they need to go to our Facebook site or your own site, so facebook.com/sci-fi-and-scream to find those links. So how did you get started in that business?
One day I was sitting around and I was listening to a lot of other podcasts. I was listening to a lot of reviewers review films because films was where it kind of started. I kind of came to a conclusion that, you know, my opinion was as valid as anybody else's opinion, and I've been a lifelong movie geek. I used to do short video reviews for Radio 3AW in Melbourne many, many years ago.
Okay.
And I kind of went, well, you know, the era of podcasting is upon us. I'm a geek. I know how to work computers. And I kind of thought, well, you know, this is the era where anybody can have a voice. And so we just set about starting it. And I started it with another gentleman. Unfortunately, I had to leave us after about 30 episodes. But since then, my regular co-host has been a gentleman by the name of Josh, who's also a very passionate geek about movies.
And
we just get together every week. We were going live for a long time. Some scheduling issues for the rest of this year, we aren't doing live. We're just doing the audio podcast. But we were live for almost 2 years, every Saturday.
Wow. That's full on. Saturday evenings or during the days?
Afternoons.
Afternoons. Even better. What a better way to spend an afternoon. I'm going to say this because Darren was talking earlier. Draw you into it, Darren. He was saying that he's a nerd. Now, you call yourself a geek and a nerd, and I can see there's some differences there. Now, Darren's quite a confirmed nerd. Okay, so you guys.
Well, in my belief has always been, there's a reason for this, that if you have a passionate interest in films, TV shows, that sort of thing, you're actually classed as a nerd. But if you're into computers, you know, chemistry, something that has a lot of intricate bits and pieces to it, then you become a geek. And that's why I always found that it was easy to differentiate the two, because it's hard. And as, like David mentioned, he was into computers. He was actually a self-confessed computer geek. When you say, I'm a movie geek, it actually doesn't, the terms don't match, because if you're saying I'm a movie geek, that means I know how film is created right down to the cellular level, and how, like, they actually, the sprocket systems work on a camera and all that sort of thing, whereas most people who like movies don't. They just watch them and enjoy them, and as a result of that, that's why I class them as nerds.
David, what do you want to say about that?
It's an interesting look at it. I mean, I think it's a very open topic, because different people class themselves as different things, but the definition that we've always worked with the term geek is, and if you actually look it up in the dictionary, funnily enough, it says as well, which is a person who has an obsession about a certain topic. And so when you actually look at it, you go, you can be a sport geek, or you can be a film geek, or what have you. When you get into nerd, we're from the same genus. I mean, it's a very fine line.
Same family tree.
We've often shown that geeks and nerds speak the same language. It really is the same genus, the same starting point. We often joke on the show that sometimes, and this is going to be controversial, I know, and we're only saying it in jest, but we kind of say, you know, the geek get the girls.
Reality TV shows.
I also found, too, that geeks are the ones wearing the propeller hats and having the big thick glasses, and then you look at them and you go, okay, clearly you know where they fit into the scammy things, whereas nerds can be film enthusiasts, but they may just blend into society and not be so obvious. You're right. I mean, some people choose one over the other. There's no hard and fast rule by any stretch.
Well, we're going to be back with a bit more of that in a moment. So just going to go to a quick break, and hang in there, everybody, geek or nerd. You're listening to Sonia and Darren and David, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I'm Japanese. Nishimura Yoshihiro desu. Soして...
And this is Mark Walko, and we are from Sushi Typhoon.
Yay! This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And this is Sci-Fi and Scream. We're back, and hopefully, David, you're still there?
I'm still here.
We've got David McVeigh on the line, if you're just tuning in, on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and he is a geek, calls himself a geek, I believe, and he does Geek Actually, which is a website that does podcasting, reviewing, sounds awesome. And we've got Darren in here as well, who's a nerd, but has got a very, I was going to say checkered past, because I'm thinking of his jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Very checkered past, in a good way, or a patchy past.
I used to pass of my life, I used to collect a lot of sci-fi patches, a lot of Star Wars and Star Trek movie patches, actually. I had so many of them, I needed to do something with them, so I ended up getting myself a NATO jacket from the Army Disposals and sewed them all on individually by myself. And over the course of 20 years, I took some off and put some on. It's sort of like a representation of who I am in terms of all the things that I have an interest in. And it was it's funny because the amount of people who have seen it, they've said, oh, did your mother sew those on? I said, no, I did it all by myself. And on some occasions, because changing a patch isn't like changing a post-it note. When you make a change, you've got to be really committed to it. So it's been an evolutionary process over 20 years. But now I've got to the point I've run out of space, and I'm actually thinking if I have to put anything else on, it actually gets quite complicated because what do I take off? That's not a fun job.
David, do you have a uniform? This is like a uniform, I reckon, Darren.
Well, it's the kind of thing if I go to an event, because the thing is, if you go to some kind of a fan sci-fi event, you want to at least stand out from the crowd. And people see the Star Wars costumes and they see the Star Trek costumes, and you think, I need something that represents me and something I've done, and it's the only one of its type around. And some of those patches are worth a lot of money too, so they're all original. There's no duplicates, no copies, and of course I can carry all my stuff in it too, so it's quite handy.
Any ideas there? Does a David McVeigh have such a thing?
I do, actually. I actually wear a trench coat that, like Darren, I collect patches. I collect push pins, and I've actually collected over the years many, many pins, including Star Trek pins and other movie memorabilia and so forth. And the lapels on my trench coat are completely covered in lapel pins, so I go out, people are always fascinated by my little shiny pins all over my jacket. In fact, it's how I met my co-host, because he saw my pins and went, secret spirit.
Well, he wasn't wearing a magnet, was he, at the time? That could have been dangerous.
You'd certainly find going to the airport would be a lot of fun too, because I've got like some metal chain sewn into my jacket. Yeah, if you've got a jacket with a lot of pins on it, going through the metal detectors is like, it's always a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah. Do you explain to them where you got this pin from and this badge, and they'll let you go if you start doing that?
Yeah, they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. All right, so look, thinking about your website and your podcast, it's very, I get lost in it. You have so much information there. Did you put that together yourself as a computer person?
Yep.
Is that, wow, okay, both of you?
No, just me. This is, the website is actually, is run by me. It's maintained and edited by me.
And what sort of things do you have on there now at the moment?
It's mostly the host for all the podcasts. That's the main source of information. But we also put up a lot of movie trailers. We put up a lot of reviews. If we get interviews, I recently just interviewed Jonathan Toplitzky for Burning Man and Loriana Novakovic. We've got video interview of that up and so forth. So it's all the content that's coming through the site that basically interests me, and I hope interests my other people out there who are following along with it. So,
and how many followers? How do you know if people are following it?
We track it pretty closely. We're probably pushing about 90,000 views a month at the moment.
Gosh,
people are watching.
Cool. Wish I could have that with my blog, my simple, humble blog. Well, we'll work on it. At least 1 hour at a time.
It's amazing how fast it turns, though, because up until July of this year, in fact, it was doing a lot less than that. And then we started to get picked up by some of the PR companies who were getting us interviews and stuff. And I think the turning point for us was when Thor came out. Thor. And we actually got exclusive interviews with two of the stars from Thor, and that just took us off. And that was the beginning of really a ride that has been, for the last 6 months in particular, has been a really fast ride.
Awesome, fun. Darren's got a website, too, which is pretty amazing with his, as he talked about, his uniform, the thing that he likes to wear, I guess.
It's more just a personal website, but I bought my own domain, so I actually went out there, and I have, aside from the jacket, I actually own a Batman collection, which takes up a room in my house, and that's well documented in that. I have a Dune collection from the 1984 film, because I was a big fan of that, and I bought some merchandise for that, and there wasn't much of it, so it was easy to keep on top of, well, as a few films that I've made myself, and there's a whole lot of things, so it's a bit of a website about myself.
I think I met you, coincidentally, at Worldcon last year. Mm. Was it September, October last year, 2010? I can still remember what year it was. You had worked on a film that I interviewed. It was David King, I think it is.
That's correct. Yeah, that was Purge. Yep, that's correct.
Small World. And I think this is the thing that we find in, whether you're a nerd, whether you're a geek, we all seem to meet on the same level. And that is, I guess, a passion, a real desire for that special kind of fiction, that special creation.
Well, I think it comes down to that, like, we'll say, take the film side of things. If you're a real film enthusiast, especially, we'll say sci-fi films, you're a sci-fi film nerd. In the end, if the opportunity arises where you can try and make something, get into that film business yourself, that's the stepping point. That makes the difference between someone who just watches them and enjoys them. And you can say, I'm a nerd to the point where, well, I want to go further. I'm the one who watches the special features on the DVDs. I'm keen to go out there. And if you find a few other people who are in the same sort of vein, they can all get together, and then somebody will say, hey, let's get a camera, let's get some stuff together and make some short films of our own. And it all starts from there. So one thing leads on to another. And that, I think, is, I think all nerds, or geeks, if you will, sort of have that sort of passion within them.
And you, David, like, okay, so you call yourself a geek. Looking at your your website. What do you plan to do? Are you planning to move into any other sort of formats?
For the moment, no. For the moment, I'm actually quite enjoying being kind of master of my domain.
Yes.
So for me, I really just want to build the podcast up to as big an audience as I can. And then, I mean, if what the next stepping stone after that is, I'm not sure. For the moment, I just want to, I mean, we're building up a nice steady audience. In particular, our comic book show is getting a lot of hit moment. It's very new. I'm very impressed with its launch numbers. And so I'm very happy with where that's going. And because it's ours, we can basically control the content. We can do what we want with it. And I really enjoy that.
All right. So where can people go to find the site?
Geekactually.com.
Too easy. Darren, your website?
No, mine's an easy one. DarrenMaxwell.net.
Oh, I'll put it up on the Facebook anyway. So both of you guys will be there for sure. Now, I've got to play this interview very shortly. It's with Kerry Callaghan. She was awesome. And she's the PR woman from Geek Girl Con, which was a convention of a difference. Well, 50% difference. And that is pretty much looking at women and women in the geek and nerd culture and genre culture and fandom, basically. Because, I mean, we've got fanboys and fangirls. Where do they fall, Darren? Is that too
hard?
Yeah,
usually it's a fanboy, someone who's, I suppose, it's almost a bit of what you started off as being a derogatory term that's now been sort of adopted by everybody. And we say, if I'm a fanboy, it means that you're really into the film or the TV show that you enjoy. Like a lot of things, when you're in that sort of culture, it's very hard to sort of be insulted by any term that comes up. So if somebody says, oh, you're a fanboy, you can say, well, I'll take that on board and I'll actually use that as a positive term as opposed to a negative term. I think it means also that you're really, really interested in something very specific, something very particular. Yeah, it's sometimes, I'm not a big fan of it myself, fanboy, there you go. But there are occasions when you're really getting into something, say the word nerd isn't strong enough, you can say, okay, I'm a fanboy. So it's taking it right to the extreme.
Fit certain types, particularly Star Wars.
I think it comes down to, this is what I've always found in my time, is that people who have the ability to talk about their interests, but they can't switch it off. And those who can't switch it off, who talk about it all the time, irregardless of where they are, that's where you start getting into the borderline of like saying, okay, they're getting to the extreme end. So they would become, if you want the fanboy, the fangirl, because they just, it's continual and it takes them years and years and years.
Obsessive.
In some cases. It is. And they just can't switch it off every time and place. They're just talking about it. And sometimes for some of us, it can be a little bit overwhelming.
Any comments, David, before I let you go?
I'm in total agreement with that.
Well, I think instead of licking light switches, maybe licking Princess Leia dolls instead. No, I'm talking about myself. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. As I've always said, there's always a time and a place, and some people can't work that one out.
So, look, it is 10:28 at night. Oh, no, she's 10:30. Look, David, it's been great having you on the line. It's short and sweet, I know, and I really appreciate your time from your studio in Sydney.
Thank you for having me.
That's great. We'll keep in touch, and certainly I'll pop you on the blog and the Facebook site. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us.
Ta-da.
Ta. Okay, that was David McVeigh from Geek, actually. Geek Comma, actually. Up next, and then we'll be playing Kerry Callaghan from Geek Girl Con from Seattle, USA. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. My name is Nichols Winding Refn, and this is one of my favorite shows.
Hi there, this is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream, the only LGBTIQ genre radio show known in the universe that deals with all sorts of stuff, including Geek. Geek Girl Con is based in Seattle in the United States of America, of course, and it ran from October 8th and 9th of this year, and I believe it was the first ever. Now I have got on the line with me the public relations manager of Geek Girl Con, calling from the US, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, Kerry Callaghan.
Hi, thank you.
So, Kerry, what's your role there at Geek Girl Con?
My role is our manager, public relations, which essentially means I am the direct link from our organization to the public. At events, I'm the one who's milling about saying, oh, hello, and sort of the public face, which is really unfortunate for them. I would want my face to be the public face. it needs some work. I don't know.
I don't think so. I like what I've seen online. It's fine, except you're chewing your nails. Are you very nervous?
But, yeah, and I'm the one who usually does the interviews with fantastic press, like yourself.
So okay, great.
That's nice.
What is Geek Girl Con? What was it? What is it?
It's actually a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to celebrating the female contribution in geek culture. But we do have an annual convention where you basically get all of them together. And typically, you think of your typical geek convention, but you focus on sort of the women who contributed to that. And that's what it is. And we ranged everything from, like, we had female stunt women and obviously our female stunt women. We had stunt women come and talk about that, and then we had, you know, writers. We had Jane Atkinson, who, if you know, she was fantastic. She's done a lot of writing. She's written on Buffy, and yeah, brilliant woman. She came and spoke for us, and we just had women from all these different genres of geekdom. It's amazing to have all of that energy just there and so supportive of each other. It's brilliant.
When and how did you come up with this idea? Was it a group of people just sat down and you decided as women collectively?
What started it was, are you familiar with San Diego Comic-Con?
Ah, yes.
Back in 2010, they had this marvelous panel called Geek Girls Exist. It was, you know, a bunch of just some of our founders were there, and they watched playing off the fact of, you know, yes, geeky women are not these magical unicorns. They're everywhere. You just don't typically see them because they're not highlighted. They kind of fall back in the background. The interesting thing about this panel is, even though it was up against an extremely popular panel, I believe it was the Scott Pilgrim panel, which at the time was about to release the movie, and he had just finished the graphic novels, so it was really big at that moment. And despite that it had this time conflict, this panel was full to the brim. Like, they had even left the door open, and were probably violating a few fire codes, but we'll let that slide. History was being made.
Yes.
But they even left the door open just to see how many people would try to peek in and just absorb it. And then some women in that group were like, you know, there seems to be a demand for recognizing women in geek culture. And they started talking, I believe, over Twitter, of all things. And before you know it, we're having our first meeting, I believe, September of 2010. We got that convention up and running in a little over a year. It was intense.
I bet. It's a huge thing. I mean, I've been looking over the last few weeks now and then at the actual online site of Geek Girl Con. I am amazed at just the amount of work that you can see that's gone in there. I mean, I find it enough work just putting it together a one-hour radio show a week. You guys.
We have an extensive staff of extremely dedicated people, both men and women, I believe. So.
Yes, I did notice some guys in there. That's cool. But, yes. I mean, looking back at the program that you did have, just the Saturday program, I mean, you've got Star Trek and Beyond, Chase Masterson, Geeks with a Heart of Gold.
So lovely. Oh, my goodness. She's the most amazing woman ever, and I had a bit of a girl crush on her, not going to lie, because I love DS9, and then when I realized I would get to meet her, I was a little bit giddy, not going to lie.
You even had some cross-play there, feminism, race, and geek culture. These are all things that are really important and seem to be appearing in panels and conventions everywhere. I mean, even here in Australia, we have conventions like a Continuum, and there was a real interest in feminism and the role of women and the portrayal of women's business, I guess, in sci-fi especially. But the thing was, it was all lumped together under race as well, and it was kind of like, well, we need a separate panel for that, and that's always like, well, next year.
You know? It's such a giant topic. How do we talk about, and even an hour panel, I don't even think you could really cover everything you wanted to on just one of those
things. It's definitely obviously going to be ongoing. One of the questions, of course, we're doing this episode called The Joy of Nerd or The Birth of Geek. Now, there's a lot of argument about, is it geek, is it nerd, and what is the difference?
You know, I admit I use them pretty synonymously, but for me, geek is about passion. Geek is completely about passion. I would almost think maybe a nerd is a bit more of a rules lawyer about certain things, like, you know, oh, well, this and this and this, rather than just being about, I love this, to the almost point of obsession. I mean, geek is being applied to words like, now you can say things like fashion geek, and the last time I checked, fashionistas were not what I would usually call geek.
But I guess there's a difference.
Yeah, somewhere. And I think it's slight enough that I don't know if I would bother actually separating them, because really, we're both people who get kind of ostracized. Why are we ostracizing ourselves?
Ah, the fringe dwellers fighting amongst themselves over scraps. Yeah, it's not right, is it? Why do you think it is important to have Geek Girl Con, and do you see a point in time where it's not required, or is that not even something you're thinking about at this stage?
It's funny you should actually ask that. I remember talking to someone about this and saying that I would love to live in a world where Geek Girl Con isn't needed but still possible. Because really, I mean, when I look at what it is, it's like, all right, I'm celebrating the fact that I happen to be both geek and female, and other people who are like that. So for me, that's sort of like, I mean, my last name is Callaghan, so clearly I'm very Irish.
And I called you Callahan.
No.
Did I?
Sorry. No, it's totally, it's fine.
No, I'll get it right. Callaghan, that's the proper way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's funny because it almost gives you an accent when you say it. I equate it to going to, like, if I went to a Celtic festival, I'm celebrating one facet of my identity, and because I'm really proud of it, and it makes me happy. And me going to that doesn't say, oh, well, Australia thinks, because it's not Ireland because I'm going to, like, that's not what I, clearly that doesn't make sense. And I would equate it to that, but I think it's currently needed because, well, one, you have people saying things like, oh, yes, geek girls. When you need a panel that says geek girls exist and people are like, oh, wait, what? They do? You don't have, because when you think of some of the major players in geek culture, you don't tend to think of a lot of women, despite that they are everywhere. And when you look at a lot of the media and how it's clearly still driven toward the male demographic, despite the fact that the female demographic is while maybe lesser, I believe it's video games, it's like 60-40. And I'm like, okay, I admit, men are still dominating that. Mm. So by a mere 10%. Yeah, and it's like, why? Probably because you're still marketing exclusively to that.
Sorry, Arkham City exactly. Is very, you know, it's hyper-real female images and, you know, objectification, etc.
I loved that game, but yeah. I'm looking at it and going, why is Catwoman doing that? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Turns off people.
I think it's the fact that we're hoping, I mean, really to make a community. I mean, more than anything, make a place where you can meet. Because before Geek Girl Con, I think most of my geeky friends were male. So with this, I met some amazing, both men and women, but it was fantastic to meet other women who were interested in what I was. And if it also gains us visibility in the industry so that they're going, oh, maybe we should start opening things up to this market, then that's all the better.
One of the great, probably one of the panels that would have had a lot of attention, it seemed to get a lot of attention in the media, even over here, was about was it Katie Goldman?
Oh my gosh, I love Katie
That got
Goldman.
So much attention here. Great story. And can you tell us briefly about what the story was, you know, for those who haven't heard about Katie, what happened there?
Well, her mother has a blog, and where I originally found the information on her. You have, she's like really young.
About 7.
I think at the time she was going to either first grade or kindergarten when it actually happened. But she was taking a Star Wars water bottle with her to school, and then one day she told her mother that she needed a different one. She needed one bigger, and she took a pink one. And her mom's like, well, that pink one actually is smaller. And says, no, it's okay, I want to use it. And she found out the reason this was happening is because she was being made fun of by her classmates for liking Star Wars and being a girl. And this is heartbreaking. But what was so amazing about it is that this blog post went up, and then everyone just latched onto it. And there was so much support that went out to her. Like, so many female geek groups just reached out to Katie. And then she was able to go to we invited her to the convention. And she was around all of these amazing, strong women who also loved Star Wars and other geeky things. And her face was just lit up the entire time. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Well, the force certainly was with her, wasn't it? Wow, I can't wait for the Hollywood movie. The Hollywood movie version.
Really?
Don't you reckon? Carrie Fisher could do a cameo? I don't know. Just thinking.
Yeah, and when they make a movie of this, Carrie Fisher will be behind door number one.
It is a great story, of course, but it does bring the whole thing on focusing. Like, oh, come on, guys. There's room for everyone on board the great spaceship of geekdom and just the fascination with sci-fi and that culture. And you know, you've got to be represented there. And I would love to see one happen here in Australia, certainly.
Oh, I would love to see that. Frankly, I would like Geek Girl Con to suddenly be in other parts of America and also in Canada and Europe and Australia. Let's have one crop up every country. That would be amazing.
And that's an invitation for you guys to come over here, I reckon.
And oh darn, we got to go to Australia. Maybe one day when we're making the big bucks.
Yeah, cool. Well, they are finally getting an OzCon next year, so it'll be like the Comic Con. Hopefully, we can speed up Geek Girl Con getting
heck
here sooner. Yeah,
2012 is going to be very big.
Are you already working on it? Are you already getting ready for 2012? Any ideas or
starting back up in December? So we're ready.
And so, how many people have you got on your team altogether?
I think roughly about 30 actual, you know, staff members, and then on top of that, we've got a bunch of volunteers. Yeah. We've been very good about keeping it organized. People have the right amount, so they don't get overwhelmed.
No, it is very organized. You've got Venomverse Burlesque and all sorts of things you had earlier in the year. That must be one of the most popular things, I think. Probably Joss Whedon and his verse.
Oh, Joss Whedon. His mind is dreamy. He has a quote. Someone asked him why he kept writing these strong women, and he said, because you have to ask that question. I love that man. I think he's amazing.
He is. And most of his followers seem to be female, so that, again, is pretty interesting.
I mean, one of his most famous characters is female, and she's strong, and she's believable as a person. Mm. But, like, go film you, Joss Whedon.
I just want to say, thanks again for letting me get around to calling you.
Hi, I'm Kiri Callaghan from, Hi, I'm Kiri Callaghan from Geek Girl Con, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Great. Hey, cool. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
We'll
take care. Thanks for that. And good luck.
Do you by any chance put your show up online?
Yeah. We've got a blog.
Would you mind emailing me the link so I can put it up on our press it?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yes. It's all fun. It's the main thing. Well, thank you so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream. Thank you. Thanks, Kerry.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and that was Carrie Callaghan from Geek Girl Con. But we get there in the end. It was fabulous to talk to her from Seattle a couple of weeks back. Now I'm here with Darren. Darren is from... Tell us, Darren, before I wrap it up with yourself, tell us about the convention that you're putting together next year. Very exciting.
Yeah, we've found that there's a lot of people who are fans of science fiction films and TV shows, mainly from the 1950s and before that time. And it's primarily a genre that's been sort of forgotten by everybody as the years have gone by, you know, with the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and so on and so on. A few friends and myself have decided to put on an old-style traditional fan-run convention next year. It's a not-for-profit event in Richmond in July. And we've called it Con 9 from Outer Space, which is a play on Plan 9 from Outer Space.
We love.
Yes, exactly right. So, and we're just running it as an old-fashioned style convention where we just having presentations and discussions, displays and giveaways and a few competitions and all the rest of it. We're not expecting it to be a very big event because we know it's a very genre-specific thing and a lot of people would be interested but maybe not that interested, and we certainly don't think that we would have a lot of interest from the Gen Ys, although they're certainly welcome to attend. Yeah, so that's the reason why we're putting on an event that we know people know this stuff and they've all grown up with it. A lot of people have forgotten all about it, so we're going to try and bring it back into the people's conscious minds and have a bit of fun for the weekend. So it'll be a weekend event and should be great.
I know it's over a year away.
It's only about seven, eight months. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, time flies.
Yes, and you're going to be dragged back into the studio next week for our episode on, well, I've called it Space Wars, looking at Cold War and just some of those awesome and interesting films.
Well, it's actually an interesting sort of time frame because a lot of people look at the 50s, we'll say the 50s specifically, as being a great, wonderful time for the whole world, but you don't, you forget that, like, in the nuclear age was in play, the Cold War, as you said, was in play. Yeah. America in particular was, like, really, really paranoid about communism, and a lot of that was all reflected in the films that they were making at the time. You just didn't realise it.
I love those films.
Yeah, you just didn't realise until 20 years later or 30 years later. So there's a lot of really good stuff there. And like a lot of people see old black and white sci-fi movies as being quite dodgy and, you know, see the strings hanging, holding up spaceships and whatever.
But if you see
past all that, though, there actually, there's some really, really good stuff there. And we thought, well, here's a good opportunity to celebrate it. We call it the Celebrating the Golden Age of Sci-Fi TV, Movies and Radio.
Got to say thank you so much for coming on the show. It's gone so fast because I had a great interview to play next. Another one. And it's Art Boy Gallery. That's with the guys, Mark and Mike. I got that right. Mark and Mike, who came into the studio last week. So we'll play that in a sec, but I want to thank you for coming in, Darren.
That's right. As I like to say, nerds of the world unite.
Unite and take over.
Exactly.
Or if not, use a blaster or a laser gun.
Exactly. Or a ray gun. Or if you're in the 50s, it's a ray gun.
Or a pocket calculator if you're in the 80s.
Yeah, then you're a geek. But anyway, let's get into that, shall we?
Yeah, let's not. We've opened something here and it's Pandora's box or something. All right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy in 94.9 and we're going to play Art Boy Gallery. So stay tuned to that. Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. This evening I have a couple of special guests in the studio to talk about something that is opening here in Melbourne through a gallery called Art Boy Gallery. So I'd like to welcome Mark Huntington.
Good evening.
Owner and curator and artist Mike Hayden. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. It's great to have you on board.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Art Boy Gallery. Mm-hmm. Just in a brief synopsis, I'll go to you, Mark. What can you tell us about Art Boy Gallery?
Art Boy Gallery is a gallery which my partner and I opened up almost 18 months ago, and it Greville Street in Paran. We approached the space as more of a retail type art store, I suppose, rather than just an exhibiting gallery with rotating artists like monthly or fortnightly. So we house anywhere from 20 to 25 different artists at one time in a big sort of white box.
Ooh.
And in like more of a salon style hanging rather than like a single hanging.
Mike.
Yeah.
Would you describe yourself as one of the house artists at Art Boy Gallery?
I'm represented by Mark.
Yeah.
Well, Mark has a stable of different artists and different styles.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he looks after what I do and promotes me via Facebook and Twitter and his website.
Like with the artists that we have that are stabled there.
So, question to Mark, specifically about the gallery. Can you tell us what made you want to open a gallery that is a little bit different? Like you said, it's got that retail side mm-hmm. to it, or branch, and then it's got the exhibiting side to it.
Yeah, we wanted to been like working in the industry for...
Forever.
Yeah, a million years. So, and you get to that point where like everybody around you is like saying, why don't you open your own space? And you just sort of think to yourself, you get to a point where you don't want to continue working for other people.
Yes.
And you're just like, yeah, I think I can do this. I might have learned enough sometime, you know, over the last 20 years to maybe open my own little sort of gallery. And so it just sort of stemmed from that. And obviously, you know, having contacts over the years of Melbourne-based artists, thinking, all right, I might be able to form a little stable of artists and you know, sell their work and promote them that way. And then you just like, basically you have like, you know, a white box and you're like, now what do I want to fill it with? And what sort of music do I want to play? And what sort of work do you want to hang is more, obviously more important than anything else. And you have a vision of how you want it to come across. So if you want it to be a little bit sort of pop artish or street artish with, you know, stencil and urban art. And then also, you know, photography and, you know, abstracted work. And we even have collage artists, but they're all sort of chosen because they have a specific definite style. So nobody crosses over. So, you know, there's not 10 people that have variations of Mike's work. Everybody's quite individual and unique. It can be sort of quite niche-ish. You know, that's what makes walking into the gallery fun, because every couple of steps there's somebody's different style of work. So you can go from quite sort of bright poppy work into a more sort of harder edge sort of stencil sort of thing. So,
streety sort of stencil.
Yeah. I mean, it can go stuff. One way or the other, but we try to make sure we keep the balance of work.
I mean, it says on your website, blend in a unique mix of, as you said, popular or pop, abstract, stencil, urban. That was the word I was trying to think of, urban.
We had a price cap so affordable for everybody, because we're trying to, you know, start some artists off who've never sold work before or have never...
been in a white box.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so it's a stepping stone for some artists to start selling. And then it's also a good space for artists, again, like Mike, who are producing work all the time. And basically every time he finishes a painting, he just calls me up and says, oh, I've got another one.
Change that.
Running out of room. So instead of having like an artist tend to sort of build up a body of work and then book themselves in for an exhibition, you know, in 12 months' time in some first floor warehouse in Collingwood or something, whenever they finish their work or a few pieces, they can just bring it in. It goes into their, you know, area in the gallery, and, you know, and then as soon as it sells, they can bring more in. And there's a lot of work, and you try and showcase as much as you can. Most of the work in there is pretty bright and bold, so, you know, you try and, you know, catch people's attention and go, wow, look at this. Yeah.
With your work, Mike, it's very colourful, very bright. Like, very bright. Now, so are you full-time? You're a full-time artist?
Yes, I am.
I'm always in awe of people who are full-time artists. How do you... You don't have to go into the details,
but how
do you manage to be creative and to keep going?
Oh, well, you have to keep up with the ideas, really. I keep a sketchbook and just keep on sketching. Anytime I have, I keep on sketching. I start panicking when I don't have sketches.
I go all over. Nothing wrong with that. If you're an artist, it's very useful.
Yeah, it is a bit. Because I'm from an illustration background, so I use my old techniques. You know, I used to do illustrations on illustration board. I'd kind of do the same thing to a canvas, but I can't work off white, so I have to paint it black.
Right, interesting.
That's why the initial photographs I always get through from Mike on new pieces are these black backgrounds.
Yeah, that's why I think is the intensity of the colour is from the black.
Mm.
Trying to paint. I used to paint on, what was it, black building paper when I was really broke.
Yeah.
Doing your painting. You're obviously selling. You're producing and you're selling. How long has it taken to get to that level?
Sometimes
The power of promoting.
Yeah.
Oh, the power of Facebook and Twitter. Oh,
really?
It's crazy.
Is it really?
Well,
seriously,
you know, how
it?
We met you.
How did I come across you guys? I'm trying to think.
Well, it was through that.
Spaced Out.
Spaced Out, yes.
The wonderful Spaced Out, which I'm always doing something when I should be going to their dinners. Something's always on. No, seriously, something's always on. Because what I need to ask, of course, the current exhibition, well, the one that's coming up on the 25th, what is the background to that? Because, I mean, that was exciting. exciting. When I saw it, I thought, that's exciting, that poster. Please explain yourselves.
Well, because we have a different style of work that we like to have, the whole idea behind Fanboy versus Art Boy as a series of fan art exhibitions just stems from when you're searching online and you're just looking, you know, forums or, you know, fan art specific websites, you just see, you're just exposed to this whole other world of art created by anywhere, obviously from professionals right through to just basically fanboys who like to, you know, draw their favourite video game character or their favourite comic book character. So, you know, we just came across, you know, as I said, like this world of fan art, devoted, dedicated people who, you know, you produce this amazing work. And just because it, you know, happens to be, you know, a replica or a facsimile of like Mario or Master Chief or something like that, it's no less artwork than something by, you know, an established artist or, you know, somebody producing their own original work.
It's fans making art.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We obviously a lot online, all overseas artists and things like this, and, you know, the really, really awesome stuff was, you know, they wouldn't do anything with it. It would just be, you know, created, saved to their desktop or whatever, or posted on forums, and everybody goes, oh, wow, that's really cool, man, rah, rah, rah. Some of our artists had actually dabbled in fan art themselves. Like, you just jump on their blog, and you sort of go, oh, look, you know, there's something from Bioshock, or, you know, there's something from Halo. And you just start thumbing your chin going, what can we do with this? Because there's works out there, and there are these talented people out there don't have an outlet. And because my partner and I were just, like, you know, big gaming nerds and all things sort of pop culture-ish, so we basically just sort of came up what we thought was going to be just like a one-off exhibition based around video game fan art. And we actually sort of emailed everybody database first and said, we've got this idea, do you think it's a good idea, or would you be interested?
Yeah.
And that, so we got a bit of feedback, and, you know, about 70% of the people who replied sort of said, yeah, it's a great idea. So we thought, okay, let's run with it. So we, you know, constructed it, and on an opening night in a genre-specific exhibition.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, because when you're online in these online communities, you've got fan/fiction, and there's just a mountain load of download, I should say. Some of it is amazing.
Yeah,
and the only time they share it is through online communities. But
hi, this is Tom O'Panikid, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
But do you think it's important not to ghettoize? Like, it's more inclusive, or do you think? Or has it ever been an issue?
No, never. I think once you walk through the doors and you hear Kylie or, you know, Madonna playing, you know you're in a different sort of place. It's Paran, you know.
Hey, look, fantastic. But tonight's episode is about geek, okay? Mm-hmm. So, or nerd. And I just want to ask you, do you guys, one at a time, Mike, do you consider yourself a geek or a nerd? Is there a difference in your eyes?
Nerd comes across as computer sciences to me. You know,
Brim
glasses, calculator watch.
What was that movie? Revenge of the Nerds.
Pocket protector.
Well, that. But geek sort of is thing. More fanatic on something, like a subject like sci-fi, knows everything. Like, this was the Enterprise B or the Enterprise C.
Yeah.
But nerd is more. It's something a bit more hardcore, I think.
I think there's more geek girls.
There is. Yeah.
Tonight on this episode, I'm playing a view I had with a woman from what's called Geek Girl Con. That's a mouthful. Geek Girl Con. They're based in Seattle, the US, and it's the first, not exclusively woman only, but the first geek girl convention, because they felt a need for it.
Mm.
And she's definitely said to me, no, geek is more, to her, in her mind, more open, more inclusive, and most people in the States, anyway, consider themselves geeks because they're interested in a specialized part of genre, but they don't have to be computer nerds. Yeah. So I think maybe that's the difference.
Okay. That's what I think. Geeks kind of like has... They have a focus on something and they know everything about...
Yeah.
It's like a fanboy.
It's like a fanboy.
Fanboy, that's it. That's it.
Just an obsession. Compulsion.
Not quite. Licking light switches. Maybe licking Princess Leia's doll or something. Mark, are you a geek or a nerd? Do you consider yourself one?
Oh, I probably say geeky more than nerdish. Mm. I think there are things that I get geeky or nerdish. I don't think I have a separate distinction between the two.
Okay.
But I have nerdy and geeky aspects of partner Matt would probably say that I'm a bit of a Star Wars geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, case in point.
Okay, yes, yeah. I want an example of what defines, what makes you different from someone who knows Star Wars to be a Star Wars geek.
I'm not fanatical, I'm not absolute obsessed fanboy-ish, though
however.
It is my, however. Look, you know, we may have the occasional argument about, you know, which three films are better than the other three.
Episode one was such a disappointment. Like, if expecting this big thing.
Yeah.
So
The poster looked good, though.
It did. Oh,
yeah. With and the shadow of Vader and the little boy.
I think, yeah, a lot of what was coming out and the teasers. And I mean, I freeze-framed through those trailers and teasers like you wouldn't believe, because I just wanted to absorb all the imagery and all
the because of the time the gap. What was it about?
1983 was Jedi.
Yes.
And then that was, what, 99?
The time difference. It was a great build-up, and then felt a bit of a letdown, personally.
I have to say, I had a crush on Darth Maul.
Really?
Oh. It was the somersaults.
Oh, look. Yeah.
Athletic.
And the makeup.
Must. Personal ad. Must be very athletic. Darth Maul.
And the teeth were just beautiful. But they should have kept him.
That was the saddest thing because he was good. He was just evil, and he just looked fantastic. Favorite character.
He needed to choke
hands
someone.
Down.
Yeah. Or Han Solo. You said hands down. I'm thinking Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Yeah.
I just think of Harrison Ford now. And
you don't think of Harrison Ford now. Think of Harrison Ford then.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to love
Empire Strikes Back.
The other night, Matt and I were sitting there, and he doesn't understand why I have a slight issue with some of the re-edited versions of the movies.
I haven't bothered watching them on the Blu-ray, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the whole...
But even just the special editions that came out.
I too was like that. I just wanted to see how it was and how it stood up in time without seeing suddenly some sort of over-inflated Bantha creature distracting me. I'm going, that looks so 1990s, late 90s. It's not 1976, 77.
I know.
But doesn't the Ewoks blink?
Yeah, in the Blu-ray, the Ewoks now can blink.
I didn't like the end of Return of the Jedi.
No.
The dancing, the little furry Ewok.
Oh,
things.
I had enough of the furry Ewoks.
I loved it when they were getting killed. Sorry, on Endor. Hitting the trees.
I was clapping.
Blowing up by the...
What, as a young teenager, you didn't like the Ewoks? Well, on the opening night of the sci-fi show, we're actually letting people vote for the next fanboy exhibition.
Have you got any choices? What are you not going to say?
I think we've got five choices that you can choose from. Yeah,
you can name.
Fanboyness knows no bounds.
Can you name one?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, why not?
Because we'll probably have probably about another three of those next year. Again, just different themes and genres. And then we've got for Midsummer we have illustrator cartoonist Brett Willis, who is a bit of a Melbourne icon. He'll be having his Midsummer solo show at Art Boy. Ooh. And that opens on the 12th, I think, of January. Video game themed one, which will be happening in Sydney for the Big Gaming Expo. We had one last October.
When's that one? That's a big...
There was a gaming expo just on the Gold Coast, and we participated and had a fanboy.
Yeah, because there's the IGF as well, the Independent Game Festival on at ACME, I think, starts the 20th of December.
That's right.
Mm. But ACME next year, and I think their winter series, are doing a whole thing on game culture. It's going to be huge. Game designers. Everybody has a game.
Everybody.
What's your favourite game? If you had to choose, the spacecraft is about to take off, the planet is shot because the carbon tax law didn't work, we've all got to get off the planet, but you're allowed to take one game with you while you, for those of you that are, stay awake and aren't cryogenically frozen or whatever, for those who have to man or woman the spaceship, you're allowed to take one game. What's it going to be?
I would most likely take Star Wars Battlefield 2. I just like running around with a lightsaber.
Oh, okay.
I could imagine that.
Mike,
oh, yes.
What would you take? One game only?
One game.
I'm going retro.
Ooh.
Pong.
Going way back.
Oh, boy.
Actually, it is a bit way back. Because I used to like playing it at the fish and chip shops. Space Invaders.
Oh, classic.
I used to enjoy doing that. Mm. It was so much fun.
And quite simple. Nice. Yes. I used to love Gallagher.
That was also in the fish and chip shop
outside, because they used to have a separate place for people playing, kids playing, didn't they? They would have this horrible sort of cold, wet area. Well, they did New Zealand because it was always cold and wet, and they'd have these machines, and it was like you'd order your fish and chips and you'd have to go around the corner to play the game.
With your 20 cents.
And then the other kids would say, give us 20 cents. Okay, bullying story. We don't want to go there. Right. Or we'll take your Princess Leia doll. Oh, no. I can't think of a game that I would want to take. It would be too hard to choose. Well, this has been great. Fabulous. I think we're run out of energy or steam or something. And all right, now, fun. Just dates, okay. Website, all that guff.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
All righty. So opening night is the 25th of November.
This Friday.
This Friday from 6 till 9. The exhibition will run. The work will be up till the 4th of December. And that's at Art Boy Gallery, which is 99 Greville Street in Paran. We're literally opposite the train station. You step off the train, you will see, if you see Darth Maul looking back at you, because we've had an artist spray up a Darth Maul portrait at the front by Hisco, thank you very much.
Yes.
And our website is artboygallery.com, Facebook, Art Boy Gallery, Twitter, same thing, Art Boy Gallery.
Yes, we've got some international guests. We've got two French artists.
Who've submitted work.
Now that's Wonderful. Lisa C. Mm-hmm. and Frederick.
Frederick.
Yes.
And Frederick.
Frederick. Yeah. And also there's another girl from Saudi Arabia who's sending in.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Susanna Ello.
Ello, A-L-O.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to Sci-Fi and Scream, one of the longest interviews I've had in history, and one of the ones with the most editing to be done. No, it's been great having you on Sci-Fi and Scream tonight. Gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Mark Huntington and Mike Ady. I got it.
It's www.mikeady.com.
Very good. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.